Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 104. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Ken Phillips. What's going on, good sir?
Hey, man. It's good to be getting together. A little bit of a different evening here. Normally, we do the recordings of these shows on Thursdays. Tonight's a Friday. It's got a little looser feel, I think, here. Would you say, Kevin?
You know, I was a little concerned. I felt like the last time we did a Friday show... we were both a little down. I felt like we had both felt the burden of the week. And maybe we had let loose a little too much, or we were just both kind of tired. I was a little bit worried about the energy for the show, but I feel better than I did that time. I'm just going to throw that out there. I feel very awake and alert and ready to enjoy this. It is kind of nice. Stunt Granny Studios North is so... defunct right now. Recording up there is not an option.
Yeah, things are a little messy here tonight. We are preparing for a yard sale tomorrow, which is always interesting.
Yeah, it kind of makes my place look organized.
It's not as a straight up renovation like you're going through up there.
But yeah, it is quite that you guys have a lot to sell there. I do think that you can get $4 for that Captain America lunch pail. I think that is a good price to put that at.
Yeah, I think you should price things to sell at the yard sale, and hopefully you sell it all, and everybody's happy. That's my three rules of yard selling, Kevin.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, everyone wants to haggle, so just kind of bring it down on your own and just kind of be done with it.
Yeah.
So.
You're asking for less trouble in the long run, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think, I agree. You just go with the lower price and just move on.
Because the goal, really, of any yard sale, one of the goals, get rid of some stuff. Yeah. You've got too much stuff, and you might as well try to get at least something for it. And, you know, go out and, whatever, meet your neighbors or something. So, you know.
Yeah, I guess that's the interesting part.
Because it's like a community yard sale, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. I am ready to have fewer neighbors, Ken.
Yeah, you're going to be...
Because the one rental unit was throwing a party tonight. It did not seem like it was out of control, actually. It seemed like it was things were okay.
They're playing their loud music?
No. I can see other people complaining about it.
Well, they were just yelling and...
I think, yeah, there was no music, really. It was definitely... There were... You know, like half a dozen people out there, at least. Half a dozen to a dozen people.
In the parking lot?
No, not in the parking lot. In the one person's patio.
Oh.
Like, it's pretty cool. They have a wood patio set up there. It is... like, no one has ever really taken advantage of it that I've seen that has lived there. Until these people.
Oh, so it's not like something they added just to throw parties out there? That's kind of what I was picturing.
Oh, correct. Yeah, it's been part of that unit for a very long time.
Interesting.
Because, yeah, they had a raised wooden patio up above, you know how we have the concrete pieces out back there? There's a wood patio covering that.
Oh, I'd like a deck. That's
yeah, deck. It's pretty nice. You know, it's taken up that whole back area. Like, they don't have any grass whatsoever. Like, you know how I kind of have the, you know, we have the flowers and everything back there. They don't have any of that area. It's just all deck.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I mean, they do kind of have a nice outdoor space to have people over. I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, it's being used the way it should be for the first time in the 15 years that I've lived there. And I don't think that they were too out of control, honestly. I'm not going to play the old man card on that one. I'm just thinking that others in the complex are maybe going to get a little moody if it gets a little too loud later. Because, you know, as it is early in the night. Once more drinking occurs, louder things may happen.
Yeah, I'd say you don't want things to go too late, too loud. You know, that's a bummer for people in the area.
Yeah, they were at a respectful level when I left, so hopefully that gets maintained throughout the evening.
Yeah, I think it's like 9 o'clock around here. That's when you can start to complain about noise being too loud. Like, I think you're not supposed to like mow your lawn after that or use power tools and things.
Oh, that makes sense.
So I don't know, but anywho, that's not really one of our topics of conversation that we had predetermined. But I'm sure an interesting, little side meander into local ordinances, which is always interesting, I'm sure, to the listener.
This has nothing to do with this is a far off locality. Our first.
Yes, we're starting really on the other side of the world almost.
Australia is a very far distance away. Like, the fact it took a long time to get to Hawaii when we went there. I know that you have like another 10 hours or something from Hawaii, I think, to get to Australia. Nah, wow. Man, I'm good. If I do that, it's happening once and I'm done. Like, that is a crazy flight.
Yeah, you would really want to make that trip. You're worth your while.
Yeah, yeah. You need to. You're not 3 day in that thing.
Well, you're not going to spend. You know, go for a long weekend to Australia. I think you're going to at least want to spend a week there. Just do yourself a favor. You know, give yourself some time to enjoy it. Maybe go on a walkabout in the outback or something like that. Or even go to these seaside clubs like the gentleman in our story did.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, it would be great if we had, if we planned a trip to Australia and we could just go to an ATM or have wired to my bank account unlimited funds.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
If I took that trip to Australia and I could just take it out of a never-ending bank account, it would be pretty right. Snazzy.
No, I bet you people who are listening to this are saying, that's crazy. But it turns out in this story, this young man whose nickname is Milky, which I think is pretty gross. I just don't
what?
Know.
What? That isn't his real first name?
I don't like it. But he had that happen to him where he overdrafted his... Now, I believe it was like a savings account, right?
It was a savings
so
account.
So this was kind of the... it wasn't like he was just withdrawing from his checking account onto his ATM.
Yeah.
He just discovered after he like... used it, I think, to make a mortgage payment.
Yes.
And it overdrafted his savings account. He kind of waited for them to, like...
call him on it.
But,
they did not call him on it.
I love how you're completing my sentences here, Kevin. You can tell that we've been co-hosts of this show for a while. We're completing each other's sentences at this point. It's just such a beautiful synergy. But yeah, he was able to transfer from this savings account, I believe, to like an eBay account, and then from there to be able to withdraw as cash.
Correct.
And, he was experimenting with it for a little while, so he definitely knew something was up here, I would say.
Oh, and in some ways, there is even, this is the interesting thing, this story, like, they do really tell this guy's life story in this article that,
yeah, we kind of skipped over a little bit there, because he did, like, start out life as, like, a 19-year-old entrepreneur, and end up, making a lot of money, but then losing a lot of money during, like, the whole financial crash situation.
Yeah, 08 was a bitch.
Yes.
In a lot of ways to a lot of people.
Yeah, that was a big big financial problem then. And since he had been kind of making his money on the stock market, you know, in Australia there. He kind of rode that wave down, unfortunately. So he started out as a real go-getter, it seems like, but then kind of fell on hard times. And what was in such hard times that he was kind of overdrafting his savings account to pay his mortgage.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that part was pretty interesting, I suppose, at least to do a little groundwork there. So, yeah, he kind of was down on his luck, and then he kind of is up on his luck, because, and then he started to figure out, like, he kind of took a smaller chunk, or a little bit larger chunk after the mortgage payment to see if it would still happen. And then he took a chunk a little bit bigger than that the next time.
Yeah, he would keep making these transfers. And, you know, his balance would be negative and, like, getting more and more negative.
But the bank didn't say anything to him. They just allowed it to continue to happen.
So he then, I guess, does what I can imagine a 20-something-year-old doing when they seemingly have an unlimited
supply of money.
Yeah, like free credit card, basically. He's continuing to withdraw and spend it like
a crazy person.
Like a crazy person, yeah. It seemed like, and this article was really, I think, a pretty good read. Just the story itself is crazy, but they kind of do a good job of kind of telling the story and how things progress from, like, maybe smaller kind of purchases to, like, working their way up to, like, really insane things.
Yeah, I mean, he really, like, every step of the way, he kind of, he tested the waters and then kind of started to make bigger and bigger splashes, it seemed. Like, once he realized it worked and kept on working, like, he really rolled with it at that point.
And, yeah, he would spend a lot of money partying.
Because he moved, he lived in this, like, little small town.
Right, he came from some rural town in Australia. It was
considered, in the Australian version of a redneck, is the way the article put it.
Oh, right, yeah. What did they call that? I have to look up
I'd have to roll back up to the top of the article because it was pretty early there.
Yes, so he's the town of
Goulburn was where he was from.
Goulburn. Yeah, it's a, I don't know, it was strange. I remember being a little bit of a weird sounding nickname they had for people who were kind of, you know, considered the rednecks of that area. But anyway, we can't seem to find it. But yeah, so he was able to continue withdrawing money. He... I think maybe one of the crazier things that he did was to, you know, after spending money on buying drinks for his friends and,
Bogan.
There we go. It was worth it.
He finally paid off.
A Bogan from the backcountry or Boggan. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
It looks like Hulk Hogan to me, so I'm going to go with Bogan.
Yeah. That makes sense. So he, you know, spent up to like...
He realized that he ended up paying off his house and then selling it. And then he had $150,000 from that. So, like, at first... You know, before he went completely bonkers, like, he just paid off his house, sold it, and then used those proceeds, and it's just like, okay, I'm set for a few years. But that's really when he started spending it like a crazy person. Like, he took 150 grand and went to a resort town. I'm trying to think of, what's the, Surfer's Paradise.
He did have the idea that it is
the name of the location. Like, I'm like, oh, hold on, really? I guess I thought there was a city, like a, what I would call a city name.
That is a little bit on the nose, doesn't it seem like that? Like, you might want to allude to being some kind of surfer's paradise. It's like, they're like, okay, something like, I don't know, something like surfer's paradise. But, I mean, that's obviously terrible. So don't call it surfer's paradise, but you know what I mean. Something like that.
Like, surfer's paradise. The surfing is not very good at surfer's paradise.
So how's the surfing? Really not good.
That would be pretty rough if it was not good there. And they're openly admitting it,
like they know that they can't even like pretend.
it's a mocking tone.
Yeah.
But evidently, because he was going bodyboarding every day, I would assume that there were indeed a good chunk of waves at said location.
Yeah, it might be a bodyboarder's paradise more so than a surfer's paradise. We're not sure. if we do ever end up making the trip to Australia, we'll have to find a little bit more out about this place. But
it looks pretty crazy.
There seems to be a lot of what appeared like hotels on the beach here. So
yeah, a lot of high rises. So, people are paying a premium to live on the coast in probably very small quarters.
Yeah. That is
a good point. He moved there. Yeah, he blew through the 150K. I mean, this is where the story really starts to pick up here.
Yeah, this is kind of like
in my opinion. They laid some nice groundwork.
He was pretty smart with the money up to this point, I think. He paid off his house, which was probably a good move, financially speaking.
And he had some problems in his hometown.
But this is crazy to think that at this point he's already like gone negative $150,000 on his savings account without the bank making a peep. Like, over a long period of time. Like, I can't imagine what would be going through my head. Although I would have to think at some point you're in the back of your mind, you're like, okay, eventually something's going to give here.
Yeah, and at least the way the article was written, and I would hope it would seem that they had some input from him. He did seem concerned at pretty much every turn that he was eventually going to get called on this.
Right. Which, he would have to be thinking that.
Yeah. And when you end up getting to the sum that he got to, and I can't believe that they mentioned that there was someone with almost double what he spent.
Oh, well, we're getting ahead of ourselves a little
bit. Yeah, we are getting ahead of ourselves. I didn't want to get there, but just to kind of lay some groundwork, I guess, of our own.
Throwing a little foreshadowing there.
Yeah, a little foreshadowing of how crazy things get. Because honestly, to me...
Usually foreshadowing is not just like coming out and saying what the thing is. But, that's all right. We're breaking new ground here. Sometimes, like, much like the name Surfer's Paradise... You don't really want to say literally what the thing is. More allude to it. But anyway, so the point is that you've got to be kind of like stressing about this on some low grade level all the time, I would think.
Yeah. And he did seem to be stressing about it, but... I guess I didn't want to get into the big figures, but... I mean, the second I see he bought a Maserati, you're just like, oh, that's got to be expensive. I was a little bit surprised it was only $36,000. I'm going to assume that maybe it was used.
Probably poor condition, yeah. Or not great condition. But I don't know what the resale value of Maseratis are. And, you know, I don't think this is one that we did our research, nor necessarily anyone should expect us to do this kind of research.
Well, they did not give you much research to look for, because, I mean, they just said a Maserati. Like,
I suppose if we were...
I'm sure that they have several models, or even if they just have one model, if they've come out with one every year, like, it doesn't even give you a year or, like, anything to go off of. It could have been an old one that didn't cost as much.
Well, I'm guessing so.
Because, yeah, I mean, $36,000 is...
It's not a huge amount of money, I would say. Like, if it was a new car, like, $36,000 would not be much.
Yeah, I mean, I think I paid something in that neighborhood, honestly.
But, you know, to be honest, you know, a Maserati is probably not the most practical car to be overdrafting your savings account to purchase.
Well, yeah.
For an interest-free loan, apparently.
This is the first time. I mean, this is big money. Like, even despite, you know, it being used or whatever, $36,000 is a significant chunk of money. Like, to me, this is when the turning point hits.
Right, and on the way to pick up the Maserati, he did stop at some strip clubs, so he is not being necessarily...
And he bought an orange Hyundai Veloster just to drive to get the Maserati.
So this is like a burner car, basically?
Yeah, it's a burner car.
Yeah, I mean, this doesn't seem like he's being very, you know, discerning with his money here at this point.
Yeah, things have definitely taken a change in old Milky's life at this juncture. And I guess I don't, like, even though you've got to be stressing about it some, and I just thought about that movie that The Rock was in with Marky Mark and... I'm trying to think of what the other guy's name is.
Transformers?
not Transformers. In the movie, they kidnap a guy that owns... what was the sandwich shop that Emily used to work at?
Quiznos?
No, not Quiznos. It was out of Texas there. The panini shop. Oh, shit.
It's escaping me.
Okay, I'm looking it up here. This is going to kill me.
You know, every time I think of Quiznos, even to the day, Kevin, I still think of the weird little dancing, singing mascot. Or was it dancing? I don't know. No, it was just singing. The weird puppet mascot thing for Quiznos subs. Do you remember that one, Kevin?
No, I do not remember that one, Ken.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Pain and Gain.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, it was the name of the movie.
Wasn't that also directed by Michael Bay?
Yeah. Oh, Anthony Mackie. I felt like I had Anthony. I couldn't think of his last name.
That was a good one. I feel like I would watch that one again. It was, who was the kind of the antagonist in that one? The guy they were kidnapping. Did you ever see that one?
Oh, Tony Shalhoub.
Tony Shalhoub, yeah.
Yeah, we saw, I mean, I've seen a lot of The Rock's movies.
Yeah, Tony Shalhoub was good in that one, I think.
Or, maybe I shouldn't say a lot of The Rock's movies. A lot of The Rock's movies after he started making better movies. Because those first few, like The Mummy Returns and whatnot, that kind of nonsense, I miss some of those. Tooth Fairy one. I mean, hey, it laid the groundwork to what he got to, but I'm just saying I didn't watch him. So.
I did see the Tooth Fairy. It
it also helps to not have children to be able to bypass such movies.
Yeah, that was kind of my... Well, you know, then it was... It, for for my situation, it was kind of in the sweet spot there of something, you know,
right,
a kid can enjoy versus, you know, I would be more interested in seeing a movie starring The Rock. So it actually hit two of our quadrants there, which is good. And actually, Jackie likes The Rock, too. So I would say we're firing on all cylinders at that point.
Yeah, but they were extorting a guy for more and more money.
Oh, that's right.
So I guess I was thinking about Milky here and trying to where, you know, like, you play it safe for a while. Like, people always seem to play it safe for a while, and then at some point it kind of gets to them. Like, even though they're kind of going bigger and bigger, like, they can't resist really going too big.
Well, yeah.
And it's kind of funny, though, but, I mean, he never, in a lot of ways, he never went too big.
Well, I mean, I guess.
They finally realized that a glitch was happening.
So, I'm not sure if I ever understood this glitch, you know, quote unquote, because it seemed like that these notifications should have been going to somebody there at the bank, and they, if the person doesn't act on them within a certain period of time, then it just kind of disappears. Was that your understanding?
Well, yeah. So what happened is that, the transfer went to computer, I believe, and then kicked up to someone for approval. But if they didn't get to it within 48 hours, I believe it was just approved.
Yeah, which seems like a crazy system.
I mean, it seems like a terrible system. I'm going to throw that out there. So evidently, because Milky ended up borrowing, oh my god.
Quote unquote. Borrowing from his savings account.
Yeah, drum roll please. Come on, where is that? Because it was around $2.5 million.
Yes, at one point he was renting out an entire brothel for a week. I believe.
Yeah, there was, no, not an entire week, 4 days.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
he rented out an entire brothel for himself.
That's a little crazy. No, that's really insane. I can't even...
Yeah, you're really balling at that point.
Normally I try to undersell things, but that's just really insane. I mean, and you're right. It's just, well, it's just the way he progresses from the reasonable to the insane. And I feel like that's just kind of human nature, really. Like, if you're not getting any pushback...
Oh,
it's kind of like, well, how far can I push this?
Yeah.
Especially a certain kind of person would, continue pushing and just saying, well, what the hell?
Yeah. And he kept on pushing, but, like I said, because he had the 2.5 and I still can't find the exact number, which is hilarious because it does say in the one paragraph. There was another woman that the same thing had happened to her, and she had pulled out $4.6 million.
Yeah.
Like, she spent another $2 million more than he did.
That's crazy.
Well,
yeah, let's continue this guy's story here.
Yeah, because, and this is the part where the even extra bonkers part comes in. He hits rock bottom, realizes he needs to, you know, kind of give it up.
Yeah, so he's like spending thousands of dollars a week. Like, he's buying like crazy, you know, like Michael Jordan game jerseys. Artwork.
A certified Salvador Dali painting. I'm like, oh my god, what does that run? I'm gonna guess a lot.
Yeah,
like I'm gonna guess that it has at least a million in the price tag.
Like art has been crazy lately. I feel like, and you know, Dali's obviously a famous art painter, so I'm guessing that would be worth quite a bit of money, even if it wasn't like one of his big ones. You know.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it wasn't like the Persistence of Time.
Yeah, I'm gonna assume that. But still, if it's certified though, for that level of painter, like you're buying it through like the proper channels.
I might be called the Persistence of Memory. Sorry, I think I might have screwed up my art title there.
Well, no one was going to call you on it. Like, I guess I'm familiar with his paintings, or at least the famous ones, but he also isn't a guy that I know a lot about, aside from the whole crazy mustache and aardvark pet thing.
Yeah, he I always kind of liked his art, I remember, so, very kind of... Well,
yeah, abstract. Surrealist.
Surreal, there you go.
Yeah, I know my art terms, yo.
Yes, that's the one, Persistence of Memory.
Oh, okay, yeah. The one with the famous melting clock.
Yeah, so...
I would think that most people would recall from that one.
But no, he didn't. Apparently, my guess is that it was not this painting.
Yeah.
But still, it was probably worth quite a bit of... You know, hundreds of six or seven figures, we'll say.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Yeah. So, the bank eventually realizes, oh God, this guy's overdrawn by $2 million. And you would think people would be like, where the hell, you know, the bank must be making lots of money to, like, be able to miss this money, it seems like to me.
Well, yeah, and I don't know if this other woman that got the 4.6 was happening concurrently to him, but that, yeah, that is a lot of, like, even though he didn't withdraw it, like, all at one time, like, that is a lot of money to be dripping out if he's pulling it out at, like, even $36,000 is nothing to sneeze at.
No, I would think not. Yeah.
So, I mean...
I would think my bank would notice if I was, you know, overdrawn by $36,000. I mean, good Lord. But, you know, if he went way, way over that, like you said, over $2 million. Or, well, Australian dollars.
I guess that's what I'm saying, is that he did spend it in smaller chunks, but at some point those small chunks are... kind of, they're significant chunks. So, like, how does a bank, miss that money just not being there?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, oh, yeah, if you misplace, like, 50 cents in a bank, I'm like, oh, okay, whatever, something happened.
Yeah, but it must have never been, like, a separate line item. It must have always been, like, washed in with, like, the... total savings balance or something like that?
Oh, well, yeah. And that's the other thing interesting about the article is, and I'm not surprised either, is that the bank did not really divulge what happened.
Yeah, they were pretty tight-lipped about it.
I do not blame them for this. I am assuming that several people got fired because of this.
So, one day, Milky tries to go to the ATM to get money out, and instead of money, he gets a message on the screen that says, call bank security, and then he kind of, I think, has the sinking feeling, that the realization that the jig is up, basically.
Right.
And he goes back home, where the... you know, police come and knock on the door, say they're going to, you know, kick the door in. So,
he has a full SWAT team come in for him, it sounds like.
And, you know, his, you know, parents are obviously freaking out, his mom especially, it seemed like. So, this would be an awkward situation for sure. And probably,
yes, to be arrested in your parents' house, that would be pretty awkward.
And not, you know, not just by like one cop coming either, but like,
yeah, a whole special SWAT team.
Task force. Yeah. That'd be pretty freaky, I think.
Yeah.
So they were the bank was pretty mad about the whole situation here, Kevin. And they were, saying that he stole all this money from them.
And he was convicted of stealing money from them.
Well, did he then appeal after that?
That is where things get even crazier in this case, in this story. I was like, oh my god, this thing is getting really long. Like, I felt like there are some parts that I could.
Yeah, and you could get to this part of the story and be like, okay, wow, that was crazy.
Just being convicted, you're like, wow, that guy had a crazy ride. Well, he ends up mentioning, and we've mentioned that there was human error involved in this case.
With as far as the bank.
Yeah, as far as the bank and of allowing him to be able to withdraw this amount of money. You know, it wasn't a bank glitch. And it was, he actually realized pretty early on when he was in jail that they had given him a defense for himself. Essentially, because they had actually said in court that it was human error and not a computer glitch. If it was a computer glitch, he would have basically stayed convicted. But because there was human error involved, he ended up spending all of his jail time researching fraud.
And he represented himself.
And he represented himself as a lawyer.
But he was able to, I think part of the, what he was arguing too was that he never tried to. Part of the law was to steal, to defraud the bank would mean that he was trying to deceive the bank, and they said that he was never like trying to like hack the system or, you know, trick that bank into withdrawing money that he didn't have. He was just using the systems that they provide to be able to transfer money, and he did have like some. You know, it was expected he might be able to overdraft his account. Like that was part of his terms,
right?
Or there's provisions for it, right?
Correct. Yeah, always provisions for overdrafts. Yeah, it might be it is usually not good terms for you.
Yeah,
to overdraft, but you can do it.
So there's kind of rules set up for it. So yeah, the bank just wasn't following those rules. So that's like
Yeah, he didn't really try
to defraud the bank.
Right. Because they knew about the transactions.
And the judge actually went for this, you know, this kid defending himself from prison in his jumpsuit. It's a pretty crazy, I mean, this.
Yeah, he wrote out 120 pages in, like.
He had to memorize basically it.
Basically memorized his case so that he would not forget anything. And I mean, honestly, like, you're still at a good, very good learning phase at 24, 25 years old. Like, you can still soak up information pretty good at that point.
Well, yeah, he was definitely motivated. And
motivation definitely helps. Getting out of jail is a big motivator.
And I mean, he seems to have kind of like a, I don't know, definitely working kind of personality, I guess, maybe.
Well, and I guess it is kind of the interesting thing about it, and we did at least touch on it a little bit, like, he did make money as something of an entrepreneur, like, when he was very young.
Right.
But the whole crash kind of wrecked him, and that's when he became the vagrant. So, I mean, for him to have a future is, I guess, in some ways not surprising. Like, I mean, he did start to do the right things, or at least he tried to.
Yeah.
And it's kind of completely bonkers that, so he argues his case in court, he wins, gets released from jail, and he's finishing up to be a lawyer now.
That was crazy. He, like, decided that that was his calling after having studied the law to defend himself. He wanted to become a lawyer, a criminal defense lawyer, so that's what he would end up going to school for. So this is a...
yeah, I mean, this was such a roller coaster of a story. Like, there is everything in the story.
And I'm just, like, thinking, like, how could this guy move on from having been through this whole thing? And after this, the bank decided that they didn't want to follow up with him in order to get their money back. Which is crazy.
Oh, yeah. Like, they thought that it was going to be too much of a PR disaster, basically.
So they kind of, like, swept it under the rug.
Yeah, they're like, well, we're fucked. And just dealt with it.
That is nuts. To, like, have gone through that and then to, like, argue yourself out of it and get away with it. Like, that is...
Yeah, I mean, it does show some weird work ethic.
For sure.
It's not a very consistent one that he has. It seems to come and go.
Yeah, it reminds me maybe a little bit of, and I don't know why this popped into my head, of the movie Old School, where the guys find a legal loophole that allows them to open a fraternity on the campus, even though they're all out of college. it's a similar kind of, like, you know what, you guys really... put the effort in here to make this work.
Well, yeah, and I mean, the question is posed a lot in this article. What would you do if you figured this system out?
I know. It's a good question.
Like, would you end up spiraling like him? Would you just be, you know, would you be able to hold back just, you know, enough? Because, I mean, I even feel like when you watch the mob movies and stuff like that, it's always just like, hey, we got to keep this on the down low. We just stole all this money. And then everyone, like, stays on the down low for a while and everyone's good.
Or else they're afraid that, or people aren't staying on the down low and then they end up getting, you know, put in meat lockers. I'm thinking of Goodfellas, I think, that happened in.
Yeah. And, you know, slowly things start to devolve. It's, you know, it's some point. Like, it would be really hard to fight that.
But this was like a one man operation, really. I mean, he would tell his friends that he made all his money. Oh, I forget what he said. Was writing? He wrote a song or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. It was something that seemed preposterous. But people. Oh no, because he was in like a cereal commercial or something. That's what they said. I think that's where he got his name.
Yeah, Milky Bar.
Or the Milky Bar. So they said it was kind of like Mikey, the Life cereal kid, which is crazy. So
yeah, the Australian version thereof.
Right. If anyone remembers Mikey, he would, I think, didn't like anything, but then he ended up liking the cereal. Was that how the commercial went?
Yeah, Mikey likes it.
Yeah, everybody was amazed. But there could have been a Milky-like situation, I guess.
I did kind of get teased a little bit about that because my middle name was Michael.
And people would say Mikey when that commercial was out?
Sometimes, yeah. I may have heard this from siblings.
I can't believe that your brother would tease you so viciously.
It scarred me for life. It was just brought up. You made that resurface, Ken.
I didn't mean to trigger you there, Kevin. The time you were referred to as Mikey by your brother.
Mikey likes it.
A deep wound indeed.
Life cereal's really tasty, though.
You know what? It's been a long time. Well, is Chex Mix is pretty different than Life cereal, would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot more cinnamon in Life.
Yeah, you're right. It's been a while since I had a Life cereal.
A little more sugar, too.
I feel like I might go back to that. Although, I've heard cereal's not so good for you, so that could be...
Yeah, I've not had cereal in quite a while at this point.
Yeah. I have been having cereal for breakfast, but now I'm rethinking it, so we'll see if I come up with something better.
Stay tuned for that.
Yeah, stay tuned. We'll get some updates on my breakfast.
But yeah, no, Milky never really did a good job of explaining to anyone how he got the money.
No, and no one seems to be really too interested in really prying to figure out where the money's coming from.
Oh, no,
like, oh, yeah, this is cool. Because he was, like, buying people cars.
He loaned someone $20,000.
Yeah. So, and surprised this guy did not pay him back.
Shockingly enough, he left him in the dust.
It was some guy he, like, barely knew, I believe.
Correct.
So, not too great.
Nah, not the wisest of the decisions, but he was seemingly generous to other people.
Yeah.
Not just spending it on himself.
So I could totally... I'm not sure they didn't mention anything about a movie deal, but I would think that somebody would want to make a movie about this, because it's pretty crazy. But it's almost like one of those things where it's too crazy to be true, but it actually was a real story.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other way to to talk about this. I mean, that story is completely bonkers. Like, I don't know what that woman that pulled $4.6 million did. I guess I'd be interested, but there's no way she's, like, becoming a lawyer now or something like that. Maybe if she's, like, becoming let's just say an architect, just to throw something out there. You know,
do you think that
doesn't quite work for me.
I mean, do you think it's possible that she could be sending people a lot of text messages?
that would be one way to fill up your time, would be to send someone multiple text messages.
Now, when you say multiple, you know, you probably text, you know, back and forth with your significant other.
Yeah, the wife definitely gets a few texts, at least a text a day, I would say, if not multiple ones.
But I would say that you wouldn't do more, you wouldn't do like as many as, I'll say, 500 texts. In a single day?
In a single day? No. I'm not sure that I text in total 500 times in a day. I do not, you know, at least in the text format, I do not talk to people that frequently.
Yeah, I would say there's no way that I would text 500 times in one day.
I mean, even if you add up what I tweet and Facebook, I would think I would still be below 500 easily, even on the most productive of days for this site known as StuntGranny.com.
Yeah, that's 20 messages an hour. 20, now, that's 24 hours.
21 messages, honestly. Yeah, I mean, you got to round that up.
So,
20.83. Good gravy. That's all you're doing.
That's round about 1 message every 3 minutes. 24 hours. So, I don't think she's up 24 hours a day, but that is a ridiculous amount of messages to be sending. Because you're going to compress that somewhat, because you figure she's probably up, what, 16 hours?
Yeah. I mean, most people sleep on average around 8 hours. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, you're doing that in 16 hours. That's a lot of work. I mean, that just sounds like a job.
That's like once a minute. Basically, I don't know. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit here, but that's crazy. In total, she sent this. Well, we should probably back up a little bit. We're talking about actually a different story now, about this woman in Arizona who was found guilty of stalking and harassing a guy after one date. Right, Kevin? That was the story.
One date, online date.
and she ended up...
Yeah, 31.25 messages an hour if you say that she was up for 16 hours.
So that is like, yeah, one every 2 minutes.
Yeah, every other minute.
That's nuts.
Yeah. I mean, even on my most productive days, I'm not sure that I could tweet that much.
So yeah, over in total 65,000 text messages. She apparently felt like they were soulmates.
Was that after this one date? Yes, they were soulmates after this one date.
So, I don't know. She did seem to probably have some kind of mental problem. It was, she says that love is not perfect, she said when she was arrested.
Yeah, I mean, she just really had a serial killer attitude about her. To be completely honest with you, I hope that maybe this jail time helps her get straightened out a little bit, because she was still convinced that the guy, that she still loved him.
Oh, right. And I forgot the creepiest part here that got her really in trouble in the end. After all these text messages, she showed up at his house and was inside his house while he was out of the country, and the police arrested her after they found her taking a bath in his house. They also found a large butcher knife on the passenger seat of her car. That is pretty freaking scary.
Oh, that must have been another story that you did not link me to, like you normally do.
Oh, really? I don't know how I ended up here. I think it's the same story. Keep scrolling down.
Oh. I thought that was the end.
Maybe you could highlight this text here that she sent.
What would I do with your blood? I want to bathe in it. Oh, my God. Okay. Wow. This story just jumped up a little bit.
You have to read after the fold there.
I thought that was the end of the article, not just the fold. Oh, well.
Yeah. She was sending him some pretty crazy shit.
Yeah, it wasn't that much longer. But, yeah, that's more than enough to...
I feel like I would, but then again, maybe he blocked her and wasn't actually receiving all these texts.
Because
I feel like I would have been like getting someone involved before she showed up with, you know, a butcher knife. I'd be like, hey, this is getting out of hand.
I definitely would have blocked her. I would have had the phone company block her long before that.
Yes.
If she did it with multiple phones or just kept on changing.
Oh, God. Yeah.
But, I mean, still, that would require a lot of work. Almost constantly. Like, at some point, if you're texting that much at any one time, the person receiving the text, would realize who it was after about, you know, the first 100.
Yeah. It's like, all right, 99. All right, this is the 99th crazy text I've gotten from this number. I'm really close to blocking this number.
Honestly, what number does it take? Like, does the number keep on decreasing as she gets new cell phones?
Well, I'm not sure numbers work, but... It would be a different phone number.
She just keeps on buying burners to keep on texting him.
That's what I'm imagining. That would be the nightmare scenario, I think.
So, yeah, when did this guy cut her off? Like, 65,000? I mean, did he actually receive all 65,000 that were claimed in this article? Because if he did, you're a crazy person for not blocking that person by that point, like, well before, like,
and I guess
if it got to four digits, I'd be like, fuck off, leave me alone.
And I guess she never got the, like, notifications that things were getting blocked. I'm not sure how blocking works, really. But when you block someone from texting.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, I guess.
She just thought that she was getting all these messages. Oh, I don't know. That's pretty crazy.
Well, all of it's crazy. Like, if he put up with it, I think he's insane for putting up with it as long as he did. If she was just texting into the ether, basically, she is a true psychopath of epic proportion.
I'm glad you're working in the ether. I like to bring that in, you know, as a general concept. I feel like it gets kind of forgotten today, but, you know, it's good to remember the ether sometimes. as a, you know, just a universal background kind of thing that the stuff emerges from. I just like the idea of the ether. So yeah, it's a wild tale here, and two wild tales I would say we've got to this week.
Yeah, we had a bunch of wild tales actually lined up because this was another one. There was a lot of jail involved because Milky was in jail. That woman's going to jail. There was a guy, and I guess I hadn't heard of this. I mean, it did always seem fun to play World of Warcraft, but World of Warcraft cyber attacker sentenced to year in prison.
Yeah, I did play World of Warcraft at one point, but it is kind of addictive. At least it was for me. So
I have heard that from a lot of people.
So it was kind of like, this is really not the best thing to do after a while.
This gentleman from Romania was so upset at a fellow player that he knocked thousands of players offline and cost, is Blizzard the company that owns World of Warcraft?
Correct.
$30,000.
That's a lot of cash just trying to, you know, get back at one player. It seems a bit of an overreaction, if you ask me.
Yeah, it was, as the court claimed, spurred by a juvenile desire to win the game. And yeah, there isn't any real way to win that type of game. It's very open-ended.
Yeah, I mean, it's like life. There's not really, like, an end where you get a final score or something like that. You just kind of keep going, you know, improving your character.
Yeah.
Eventually you max out, and then you end up going to these special areas that you can't really get to until you're high enough level. So that's kind of like where the end game content, as it was called then, but I never got to that stage when I played.
Oh.
I just kind of ditched around. It didn't help that the computer, the laptop I was using was pretty crappy, so I would be kind of like...
Quality of play was a little low.
Yeah, it would get laggy, and, you know, that's a good way to get knifed in the back.
Yeah, I would imagine that things might play a little smoother these days, just because the higher band rates are a little more reasonable.
Yeah, if you get better computers, I think it works out better.
And that, too.
Yeah.
And those tend to improve just simply by age, so you already said it was an old one.
Yeah, it was not a great computer. It was more of a budget laptop, which it really was, you know, really good to me for a lot of years, so I'm not going to knock it too much, but it was not necessarily designed for...
It was not top of the line.
Yes, exactly.
With crazy graphics.
So, yeah, I still quite enjoyed the game, so I can see why people spend a lot... And I was one of those people who would spend a lot of time playing it.
Yeah, and it is kind of funny that this is a little bit of a paw story within the OPA region here. And because there was a court case pending against this gentleman in the fine state of Pennsylvania. So I'm going to assume that a number of players in Pennsylvania were hurt by this this action.
Yep, people who really were just innocent bystanders in this whole crazy drama.
Yeah, so that, you know, again, just crazy people happening everywhere for us this week.
I guess that's the theme of the week. It's like, yeah, people being a little, going extreme, I guess you could say. Extreme people. We can probably say that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty safe to say. Another extreme, would be, eating bison that is 50,000 years old, Ken.
Oh my God. Yeah, this one was kind of gross.
Really gross. This was definitely crazy and a whole different kind of crazy than we've been talking about.
So they were digging or, you know, looking in the ground, and they found this bison that had been frozen in a... I guess kind of underground, really, or crevice or something like that.
Right.
For 50,000 years, they found out.
Yeah, and honestly, at the time that the dinner party in question happened, they only thought it was 36,000 years old, I believe.
But it turned out to actually have been aged for another 14,000 years.
Yeah.
But really, give or take 14,000 years at that point.
does it really matter?
36,000 still seems pretty old to me, Kevin. Usually, yeah, you age a piece of meat, I don't know, 15 years, something like that. That seems like on the long end.
Yeah, that even kind of seems like a little bit too long.
Yeah. So sometimes people age their meat.
Yeah, I feel like it's a couple of years.
But
kind of about a max.
You would not imagine doing it for 50,000 years, I would think.
No.
Especially buried in the dirt. Which,
well, in the snow.
Well, yeah, but I'm sure there's dirt there, too.
Yeah, one would imagine. But, yeah, so the excavator of said bison was... why am I having such problems finding a name? Dale Guthrie, paleontologist, who lived in... Of course, this happened in Alaska. This is far out of territory again for us. We were doing a lot of mileage out of our stories this week between Australia and Alaska.
Yeah, that's true. We're really getting the frequent flyer miles here this week.
But, yeah, you're not, they, discovered this bison, and then after doing some research, they decided, hey, let's eat some of it.
You know, as you do, I guess. I don't know. This seems like an insane idea. The more I think about it, the more insane it seems.
Well, and it's kind of funny, too. The guy's like, well... You know, even after 3 years, most game meats in a freezer are kind of terrible. Because that's the other part of this story that is a little bit fascinating, is the fact that you're not allowed to sell game meat in Alaska.
Right. So this was kind of like they were allowed to get around it because they found it. And it was already killed.
And they did not sell it at a restaurant. They just... They had a dinner party, and people were, I can't remember if they were told that it was 50,000 years old or not, or...
Oh, I would hope so. That would be terrible not to tell someone. It's like, all right, getting some stew here, looking forward to this.
Well, and that was, I believe, in my opinion, a smart maneuver to go with a stew. Which kind of helps cook the meat, maybe helps hide a little bit of funkiness that might be around from 50,000 years of being frozen.
Oh my god. It's just grossing me out thinking about it. Because you're right, like, when you have some meat in the freezer for a long period of time, like, it might be, you know, safe to eat because there's no germs that can grow on it.
Oh, right.
But I feel like it's still going to end up being gross after, like, a long time.
Yeah, like, there are some things that's just like, how long have we had this in the freezer? Couple years? Let's just throw it out.
Right.
You know,
it's not really going to be good anymore.
Yeah, like, they're really, even within a freezer, there's a tap-out point. So, I mean, I cannot imagine. I mean, they said that it didn't taste bad, but I'm like,
I feel like they were sugarcoating that a little bit.
Yeah, I cannot think that tastes, like, that had got to taste kind of funky.
Yeah, I got the kind of reading between the lines that it did not taste great. They alluded to they couldn't remember anyone actually getting seconds. Which would seem to be that, you know, people were more like, oh, okay.
This is so good.
I can say that I ate a 50,000-year-old bison. I mean, this is going to be a cool story to tell. And yeah, okay, I did it. But I'm not going to go back for more. You know? Like, let's not get crazy.
Yeah.
Let's not get crazier.
Yeah, I mean, no need to get crazier. I mean, that is plenty crazy, so.
I guess the theory is to kind of, like, not waste the meat, but then they also put the rest of the bison on display, I guess. So I'm not sure how they preserve the meat in there. Maybe they can put it in some kind of liquid or something, or oil, I don't know. They do something, I guess, to be able to display it. But I'm imagining they just don't have a hunk of meat just lying out there in the museum.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing that's weird to me. It's just like, how did they hide where he took the meat from?
Yeah, it's like a small piece of the neck meat, they said.
Yeah, which seems like a part that would be pretty, you know, prevalent in being able to view the neck area.
Maybe the underneath part of the neck?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I mean, I guess the picture that they're showing is before he cut it open.
Ah. Yes. It's a wild concept that I don't think I would be up for. I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to be okay without having this 50,000-year-old bison.
Hey, yeah, I've had some weird stuff. I've happily eaten reindeer. I have had bison a number of times.
Yes.
So it's not something I'm unfamiliar with. But yeah, I'm not sure I'd be up for this. Like, it seems a little gross to me.
Yeah, that would be really gross. I think if I somehow convinced myself to try it, I would probably just have, like, a bite and be like, this is gross. From what they described, it just sounded gross to me.
Yeah. Well, Ken, we will end up on one note that, kind of connects into our last couple of shows, which have been technology-driven.
Specifically video games we've been discussing.
Yeah, and particularly video games around our childhood. I would have to say that Sonic the Hedgehog 2... would have been a little bit late for me. I know that I did not play much Sonic. I played some, but...
You guys had the Sega, I remember.
Yeah. But I was kind of tapped out. I feel like maybe my sister was more involved with the Sonic the Hedgehog time frame than myself.
Gotcha. Yeah, I remember that being kind of an inferior Mario, as far as I was concerned. I just never quite got into Sonic the Hedgehog. But, you know, it was a very popular series, though.
Well, and I think that I might have been out at this, because this was for Sega Game Gear. I had a Genesis. We never got a Game Gear.
So you were not buying this Sonic the Hedgehog 2 for the Sega Game Gear last month, Kevin?
No, and that's kind of the weird... there is a freakiness to this story. In that someone bought this legit straight up new...
From a store.
From a store in March of 2018.
So somebody was looking through these, you know, detailed sales reports that the companies produce and, you know, to gauge video game sales. Or, right. You know, people will... I think there's people who will, like, call around to the stores and get these numbers. But anyway, however they compiled it, yes, there was one copy of Sonic the Hedgehog 2 for the Sega Game Gear that showed up. And people are very surprised about this reporting. And it just seems to be genuine from what we can tell.
Yeah, like, it was scanned on a barcode from what they said in the article, which, you know, kind of proves that it was a new one instead of... they wouldn't have used the barcode for a resale, let's say. You know, it like, maybe not a pawn shop, but like a video game exchange shop.
Yeah.
And, you know, they would have used some other form of ID to sell it.
Because I think the way the report went, we don't even know, like, what store or what chain sold this game. It was, it was just reported as a sale... I believe by Sega.
Correct.
So that is just a, because this game came out in 1992. So that is,
it's been sitting around someone's
36 years ago, I believe.
Huh?
No,
26 years ago. Good God.
Damn it.
Don't date us that much. let us do a couple hundred more podcasts before we get to 36 years ago when Sonic the Hedgehog...
Took 10 years off our life there. sorry about that. But yeah, 26 years is long enough, I think, for a game to be presumably buried on a shelf somewhere and then be like, oh, look, I found this.
Yeah.
Under this, you know...
Because, I mean, there was one theory that it was a Toys R Us that, you know, was liquidating sales. And someone noticed it and decided to purchase it.
Like, you know? Had literally been, like, stuck in the back somewhere?
Yeah. I mean... It's crazy that something could be stuck in the back somewhere for that amount of time.
36 years is a long time.
Well, 26 is.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's
right. But 26 is... That's plenty of time to find a missing Sega Game Gear Sonic the Hedgehog video game. Like, I would have to think that you would do a somewhat thorough cleaning at some juncture... During a 26-year time period. At least one. At least.
Yeah. You think there wouldn't be a corner that would be kind of like left alone for 26 years for a game to be kind of like propped in the corner over there?
Yeah, it's like hidden. And behind a broom. Evidently, it was in good enough shape that someone wanted to purchase it. Like, it wasn't like it was sitting in a puddle... The whole time, like, it was somewhere where people didn't want to go. It was in the Black Lagoon, and no one wanted to go over there. Like, you know, someone wanted to purchase it, so it mustn't have looked that bad.
I wonder if the person, you know, if it was, like, a grandma buying it for their grandkids and, like, didn't really realize that this was a totally outmoded game. that's kind of a funny thing to think about, so...
Yeah, all of the possibilities are there, at this juncture of this story. I hope that we get to follow up on this one, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, that would be interesting to know a little bit, how this ended up happening.
Because there was a guy on Twitter that, was reaching out to whoever purchased it to kind of explain how it got purchased. Like, he's just trying to figure out how, you know, how it went down. Like, again, I in some ways I compare it to finding that I think I mentioned recently finding that Cam FDM album that was unique. You know, this is something where I guess if you're a game collector and you went to some type of a sale, and you know, if you did go to Toys R Us liquidation sale, you're like, holy shit, that's Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Like, I mean, there's a possibility that someone was smart enough to snag that thing on purpose, knowing it would be valuable.
Yeah, I could totally see that. It's it could go either way. I could see somebody trying to get that just for kind of kicks, even if it wasn't valuable.
Oh, right.
Just, you know, for what the heck, you know?
Be interesting. Why not?
Yeah, someone who's a big Sonic fan, I could see it.
Oh man! Well, Ken, we cannot go to Sonic because it is closed now.
Yeah, and I wouldn't go there anyway. It takes so long to get my food there; it's ridiculous.
Oh, I usually only do like what they don't call them blizzards, do they?
Oh, something like that, though. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever they call their version of a blizzard, I get those there every now and again. But no blizzard here, Ken. But there is some white stuff. Well, actually, some yellow stuff that's in a white can, Ken.
Right. It's called a white IPA, but it's actually not white, just to kind of blow the lid off that little...
that farce.
Deception, yes.
No, that is more describing the fact that it is a Belgian white base. 7% alcohol, 70 IBUs, Ken. This do you was call surprising. Shenanigans on that?
That was surprising. That was a big number. It does not seem to be 70 IPU. IBU.
And did I say it's four-string brewing?
Oh, no, you did.
Okay, yeah, if I didn't... You know, this is one of those beers that I will always remember because... like you said, like, it does not strike me as 70 IBUs. Like, this was one of those IPAs that I'm like, okay, I can get into this thing. Like, this was one of the first ones that I remember thinking to myself, like, oh, maybe I understand this whole hop thing. And, I mean, I did kind of move into it. I still like other stuff, too, but... You know, this one definitely helped me swing into liking it, so it will always hold a special place in my heart in beers. So that's why I grabbed a six pack before coming down to.
Oh, that was a nice story there, Kevin.
The studios south here.
Yeah, it was a nice. It is like more, I think, refreshing than your typical IPA, which can be, you know, more bitter. But it does not seem to be 70 IBUs, so take that for what you will.
Yeah, I mean, if you like hoppiness, maybe it is not for you. I definitely know that the average on... I definitely dragged the average up on Untappd for this beverage. I think maybe some other people are looking for a little more hop in it. But I am perfectly okay. I think it's a nice yeast malt balance that they have going on with this one.
Yeah, you can taste that more than the hops, I would say. So it does. Maybe that's why it doesn't seem to be as hoppy, because the other flavors are so strong as well. But one way or the other, it's pretty good if you're not like expecting something to have a big hoppy taste to it.
Yeah. So that is the Belltime Beer of the Week. Or at least the show. And I'm both. At DeFrango11. He's at Gozer33. Brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you may listen to us. I am out.
Have a week.